Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, kiddos. Headlines, of course, are brought to you by our friends at Buddies. Goodies in glass. It's always 420 at Buddies, baby.
Softy is an idiot.
So multiple reports, including from our old pal, who's no longer our pal because his boss won't let him on the radio station, Ryan Divish of the Times, reporting, confirming Jeff Passan's story from yesterday. The Mariners are about to call up number one prospect Jared Kelenic. He'll make his debut Thursday against Cleveland. He's in the lineup for the Rainiers tonight against El Paso at 6:05, hitting leadoff for Tacoma, but again, should be in the M's lineup on Thursday.
Russell Wilson's sister Anna, the former Bellevue High star, will use the NCAA's COVID waiver and return for a sixth season with national champion Stanford basketball
team. And Russell Westbrook is now the all-time NBA leader in triple-doubles, passing Oscar Robinson. And Westbrook, by the way, he's only 32. He'll be 33 in November, so he's not even close to being done.
So yeah, the Panthers are trying out. They're trying out the best quarterback in UW history that never threw a pass.
Kevin Thompson.
Indeed.
How about that?
Greatest Husky quarterback of all time not to throw a pass.
Good for him, man. That's awesome. The A's today are saying that they will start looking at relocation with the backing of baseball with the goal of putting pressure on local authorities in Oakland to push a stadium project forward.
Derby winner Medina Spirit will race in Saturday's Preakness Stakes after Bob Baffert agreed to pre-race blood testing, monitoring, and medical review.
I think that's a mistake, man. Can you imagine if Medina Spirit wins the Triple Crown? How much crap they're going to take for that? I mean, look, Justify, I think all the news about Justify, all the controversy came after he won the Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
This is before even the Preakness, which is the second leg of the Triple Crown.
Right.
So if they win the Preakness Saturday and then win the Belmont in New York in a few weeks from now and they win the Triple Crown, it'll be, from the public's perspective, the most tainted championship in horse racing history. I'm telling you.
Although you would, I'll just play devil's advocate, okay. Although he would have won two of the three legs under the most scrutiny a horse has ever received going into those two or three races. So he was obviously clean for the last two races.
How do you know that? This is a trainer that's been busted before, and he keeps getting away with it over and over and over again. And
so he just has other ways to break the rules.
But, Dick, even if he does win the Preakness and the Belmont, people will say that the Derby was tainted. I mean, you don't win the Triple Crown by winning two. It's why they call it triple, not double.
Okay. But I would just say, okay, beat my horse then. I mean, okay, you think he... If I'm Baffert and I win the Triple Crown, I'd be like, well, you know what? I beat him clean. I was clean all three. You thought I was dirty for the first two. Well, you know I was clean for the second two, and you still couldn't beat my horse.
I don't have any doubt that that's what Bob Baffert will say.
That's exactly what he'll say. And you know what? That's what I'd say if I'm him, too.
But that's not what's important here. What I'm talking about the perception of the Triple Crown, if Medina Spirit ends up winning it, from the public will be what? And the media will be what? You're telling me
tainted.
That the public and the media will say, oh, well, you just then beat him then. Really? This guy's getting clobbered right now.
Do you think that there will be some, you know, a decent percentage of people that will almost kind of see Bob Baffert as a, you know, unfairly scrutinized, and here he's going through all this, and he cleans his horse up for the last two races, and he wins anyway? Do you think there'll be some people that are like, hey, good for him, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. I'm not seeing that at all right now. I mean, look, I'm only looking on Twitter, so...
A lot of positives come out of Twitter, that's for sure.
But I'm not polling every American horse racing fan, is my point. And everything I'm seeing on social media, everything I'm hearing on talk radio, is that the guy's a cheater. And he's finally now being exposed for it, right? I mean, there were multiple articles written about this even before this happened with Medina Spirit. His horses at the Arkansas Derby, Justify, that won the Triple Crown a couple years ago. The guy just has no credibility.
Right.
And if it does happen where it wins the Triple Crown, I think the big story is not going to be, another Triple Crown winner, which he's had two of them now in the last, 4 or 5 years. All right, it was a 30-year wait, whatever it was, since affirmed in 1978. Now we got a couple in the last 4 or 5 years. Obviously, the novelty of the Triple Crown is not what it was.
It's because, like, no hitters in baseball.
Exactly. But if they go out and they do it again now for the third time in, what, the last 5 or 6 years, I think a lot of people are going to start to wonder, well, this took how many years to happen for the first time?
Right.
Since 78? And now it's happened 3 times?
Yeah.
And it's happened with the same trainer? All 3 times? No.
No.
This, like, doesn't pass the sniff test.
It's like Barry Bonds blowing away the home run record.
I think he's going to take a tremendous amount of crap from people, and the skepticism will be sky high if they win the Triple Crown. So we'll see. I will say this. What it's done for me is I think there's going to be more eyeballs on the race, the Preakness, to see what happens.
I would think so. Yeah.
I mean, this is controversy. It's drama.
It's what people love.
People love it, and I think they're going to tune in to watch it coming up this weekend. So we got that going on in the radio station. Mariners are back in action tonight against the Dodgers. You know, it's funny that I mentioned Russell Westbrook there in the update, breaking the all-time triple-double record in the history of the NBA. There's a lot of records in basketball that people thought were never going to be broken, and this is one of them. Because the gap between Oscar Robertson and I think Magic Johnson was number two is so big that people thought this is one of the records that could possibly live forever. And then Russell Westbrook comes along and smashes it. You know, I said in the update, the guy's only 32. I mean, the amount of money these guys are making, he'll play another 8-9 years in the NBA.
Yeah.
He might have 220 triple-doubles by the time it's all said and done.
And two reasons for it. One, I mentioned to you in Stats Are for Losers a few weeks ago that, what did I say, about 15 years ago, the team that had the highest scoring points per game in the league now would be the lowest scoring points per game in the league. And that's how much it's changed in the last 15 years.
Yep.
And two, we got a little thing like called usage rate. And those of us old schoolers, people that are as old as me or older, and just watch the NBA now, and some people in the NBA who just want to have the ball in their hands all the time, every single play, you've got usage rates up 41, 42, 43% for guys like James Harden and guys like Russell Westbrook. That never, ever, ever happened 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, the gap between Oscar and Magic was gigantic. LeBron's got 99, so he's going to be up there. He's got a chance to maybe pass Magic when it's all said and done, but he's 39 triple-doubles away. He needs 40 to pass the guy, so that's asking a lot, I think, for a guy at his age. But it's funny, and I wonder how many people can even answer this question. And I'm going to go ahead and guarantee that you will not be able to answer this question.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking to myself, okay, Russell Westbrook was the last first-round draft pick ever by the Sonics.
Correct.
Correct? Who was the last pick ever by the Sonics before they took off and went to Oklahoma City? And I'll give you a little bit of a hint. They drafted in that draft. What year was that Westbrook? Was it 2008?
2008.
Yeah, 2008, because they had the draft and then took off and played that year in Oklahoma City. So the 2008 draft, the Sonics drafted 6 players in that draft.
Really?
Russell Westbrook was the first one, and Serge Ibaka was the second one at 24th, I believe, overall in the first round. Then they took 4 guys. They took 4 guys in the second round. How about this? Jackson, if you can name all 4,
I'll write you
a check for $500 when the show's over.
One. I can't name.
How about, I don't think you can name one of them.
How about Denim Brown?
No,
that was a second-round draft pick of the Sonics in the 2000s.
Devin Harden was drafted by the Sonics in 2008,
Harden?
Formerly of California. Remember him? He was drafted 50th overall by the Sonics. He was the second-to-last draft pick all time. I'm going to say the name of the guy, and you're going to remember him from school for sure.
Okay.
Sasha Kahn out of Kansas.
Oh, Kansas, the big guy.
Was the last player ever drafted by the Sonics at number 56 overall. They drafted Russell Westbrook. They drafted Serge Ibaka. They drafted Walter Sharp at 32.
Don't know Walter Sharp.
Trent Plaisted at 46.
Okay.
Trent, he was wasted Plaisted, so he doesn't remember what happened that night. Devin Harden at 50, and then Sasha Kahn out of Kansas was the last player ever drafted by the Sonics. And then you remember what happened the next year? They drafted James Harden. So they had Durant, Westbrook, and James Harden. How many championships do they win in Seattle? And if they do keep those guys and they win a title, does that inspire the local politicians to get off their ass and keep the NBA team in town, and are they still here?
Yes, but you have the same – I mean, would they have won the title? They didn't win it in Oklahoma City with those three guys. LeBron took it from them, and thank God he did.
Yeah.
So they – but they would have had a run, and that's why I felt –
How about just making the NBA finals?
I felt that lottery day was a huge boost to our chances. I was like, there is no way our politicians are so stupid that they would let Kevin Durant go out of this city. And, of course, I was wrong. And I had too much faith in the politicians of this area and too much faith in society. And here we are. You're talking about that Oakland thing with the stadium. I mean, if anybody that was a sports fan back then that said, you know what, I'm not for public financing of buildings. Okay, I would ask you this question today then. Here we are. If you were truly a basketball fan back there, was it worth it? Was your stance worth it to say, I'm not for public financing of stadiums? Was it worth not having the Sonics the last 13 years and the next 3 or 4 years at least to have your you're flag planted on the no public financing for arenas?
If they're basketball fans,
if they're basketball fans,
of course. And how could they even say it was worth it back then? If you're truly a basketball fan, then you would be willing to make a contribution to keep a team in town.
We're talking about people that were basketball fans that back then were like, no, I'm just not for public financing.
No, they're not basketball fans. They think they are, but they're not. Yeah. They're not, because something that would cost you $50 a year in taxes personally, if that to you is too much of an investment,
then you're not a basketball fan.
You think you are, but you're not. 413, John Wilner will join the radio show next.
To learn more.
It's time for our weekly Pac-12 conversation with San Jose Mercury News reporter John Wilner. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Our friends at SimplySeattle.com have the most amazing collection of all things Seattle. Seahawks gear, UW hats, and the largest selection of Sonics gear anywhere in the world. Learn more at SimplySeattle.com.
You know, I don't generally, Dick, wear hats unless I'm on the golf course. You don't really see me with hats a lot at work, for example.
Right, yeah.
But I'm looking at a hat right now that I think the kids would say is dope.
All right, let me check it out.
It is the old school 1979 Mariner Trident hat with the 79 All-Star Game logo on the side, but in Sonic green and gold colors. It is really, really cool.
So if you're a hat guy, that is cool.
Check out the Twitter account. 1979 was a big summer here. The Sonics won the NBA title, and the Kingdome hosted the All-Star Game. So they got a pretty cool, unique item on their website right now at simplyseattle.com. Check my Twitter account as well for the link right now. All right, here he is, a guy who I think in 79, John Wilner, was what, 4 or 5 years old, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Johnny's with us right now, courtesy of Simply Seattle. How are you, pal?
I was a little older than that, but very, very disappointed as a diehard fan of the Washington Bullets at the time.
We've talked about that. Well, you had your revenge the year before in reverse. You got us in 78, we got you in 79. So it all worked out in the end. But let's go to the number one topic the Pac-12 fans have, and that is the commissioner. I'm hearing rumors, Johnny. I'm hearing rumors flying that Oliver Luck could be the guy. What are you hearing down there from your people?
You know, I'm not hearing a whole lot. I believe Oliver Luck is still involved. That is the one name that I have been able to confirm is still in this thing. They're doing a great job of keeping it secret, which is what they need to do in order to have good candidates involved. I have no idea if it's going to end tomorrow or next week or in early June. But my thinking is this could go in a lot of directions. And if it ends up with Oliver Luck, that's one of the better directions it could go.
Does the timing matter, whether we're just talking about a few months? I mean, we're still in a good shape pre-television deal, right?
Yeah, the main reason, I think there's two things why the timing matters. One is that if it does seep into June, then that's a signal, I think, that it's gone off the rails and they may have to restart or backtrack. I believe they want to have somebody in place before then and intended to have someone in place before June. Now, the other issue is the college football playoff. June 22nd is the date that a subcommittee is going to present its recommendation for playoff expansion to the full playoff management group. The Pac, it seems to me like the Pac-12 wants to have a new commissioner in place pushing for the right expansion number for the conference at that June 22nd meeting, right? That's going to be a huge deal. Yeah. If there's approval from the management committee at the 22nd, then it will go to the presidents in the fall, and it'll be a done deal. And the Pac-12 needs to have somebody advocating, someone, not a lame duck commissioner, but somebody in place advocating for the right number for the conference.
Yeah, they would need for sure to get that guy in place ASAP to start fighting for the Pac-12, there's no doubt, because if there's any conference in football that would like to see expansion, it's the Pac-12. Absolutely, the Pac-12 would love to see it go to at least an eight-team tournament, so we'll see. But John Wilner again with us, courtesy of the San Jose Mercury News. And, you know, John, I'm just kind of curious, would you make Oliver Luck the favorite right now? And if you could hire anybody in the field, would he be your guy, or would it be somebody else?
Gosh, I don't know what the field is. That's part of the problem. I think that there are some good candidates potentially, but I don't know if they are actually candidates. So of the known universe of candidates, yeah, Luck would be right up very high on the list. There's no doubt. I mean, the bottom line for the Pac-12 on this is, in some ways, they got to avoid a big mistake, right? I mean, I don't know that they've got to get the A-plus higher, but they need to get at least a B-plus. And right. Oliver Luck, you know, is somewhere in the A range to me, because he's got football experience and he's worked on a campus.
You wrote today about the big NFL TV deal and what it means for college football. So is it rising tide lifts all boats theory here, and that huge TV deal is good for college football, or did the, you know, just take network money away from college football?
It remains to be seen. I think in general it's good for college football, but I don't know that it's going to be good for the Pac-12, right? I mean, it's not like, and part of the college football's problem is that it's not like the NFL, and that it doesn't, you know, collectively bargain essentially its media rights. It's every conference for itself, and the conferences aren't equal. The SEC and the Big Ten are much more coveted by the TV networks than the Pac-12. So while I think that the NFL deal shows that the market for college football is climbing, I don't know necessarily that it will climb for the Pac-12 to the same level that it is for some of the others. Conference needs to show that it's got a football product that's worth paying for.
Yeah, John Wilner again with us, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com from the San Jose Mercury News. And don't get comfy, John, because we do have a what the hell you talking about Wilner coming to you in matter of seconds.
Excellent.
Here, by the way. So be ready. Call your people and get ready. But I saw you commented on the story that the Times did about some of the disagreements behind the scenes, especially at UW, on the testing that was provided by Quidel. And I got to be honest with you, I read that story, and I guess I was trying to figure out what the point was. I mean, if the point was that there were people that had differing takes on how effective this thing would be, well, no kidding. I mean, it's the first time in the history of the human race we've done something like this. I would be shocked if everybody was on the same page. But what was your biggest takeaway from that Time story a couple days ago?
You know, I thought they did a real good job just reporting on the facts and getting some of the emails and the documents. But generally, I agree with you. I mean, you kind of had to expect that there would be some concern, some difference of opinion. And I think the bottom line is that the Quidel testing, it did the job. It enabled them to play.
Yep.
I am not aware of a single Pac-12 football player who was hospitalized
right.
during the fall because of COVID. The testing missed, had there were false positives, there were false negatives, and everybody knew that was going to be the case going in. But I thought the story was good just because it provided some insight into the thinking of at least one of the schools at a level that we hadn't seen before.
Right. And yeah, I heard the same thing about UW, for whatever it's worth, that there was not one player that was hospitalized due to COVID during the season. Some guys showed symptoms, but not one guy was hospitalized. All right, here we go. It's been a while. You've been getting way too comfortable in that chair, Johnny Wilner. We got to make you squirm a little bit, all right? You're a professional. You can handle it. It's time, after a hiatus, for another edition of What the hell are you talking about, Wilner? Dick, take it away.
So evidently there is a revision in the Pac-12 North standings, according to John Wildner's power rankings. And so you're telling me, John, that a month ago you can have Washington 1 and Oregon 2, and now because of one non-quarterback, non-skill position, never to score a touchdown in a game player goes out, which wouldn't even tip the scales. Vegas wouldn't even notice it. If it were a football game, the line would even go from 3 to 2.5 if ZTF was out of the football game. And yet, that's enough to tip the scales. Oregon 1 now and Washington 2 because of one injury. What the hell are you talking about, Wilner?
Well, it's more than one injury, because I also gave some thought to Oregon's current situation, which I think has improved. They've got more clarity at their quarterback spot than they did a month ago, and I think that that's good for them, because that's really the big question, I think, in Eugene is who's going to be playing quarterback. But you know, here I kind of just connected some dots with Washington, and look, it's a defense that lost some really good players in the secondary and wasn't very good against the run. And now you remove the number one pass rusher. And so I was left thinking, well, I'm not sure that the defense is necessarily next level in when you add that up.
Yeah.
And then you think about, is the offense going to be good enough to win games, 41-31, 41-38? I'm not sure. I think the Huskies are going to have to win a lot of games, 24-21.
Huh.
And if you think about, and also the way they play, the running game, the use of the tight ends, I mean, I don't see it set up as an explosive, super explosive, high-scoring offense.
Right.
So if you're thinking that a lot of the games are going to be close and somewhat low-scoring, and then they've got, run defense that you're not sure of, and you got to replace Molden, and now you got ZTF out. And I started to kind of, the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, right now I'm not so sure.
Well, how close were those two teams anyway? When you originally put it out, what was the gap between UW and Oregon then?
Oh, not much. I mean, I still think it could just come down to the one game at Husky Stadium, and I may change my mind by August, I mean, we'll see. Did you guys see Bet Online came out with odds for the Pac-12 championship? And they've got Oregon at 9-4, and the Huskies are 15-4, so basically 4-1.
Hmm. Well, Oregon gets the bump just because of the fact that they were kind of sort of pseudo Pac-12 North champions last year, right? They probably get that bump. But we had Canzano on last hour, and I'll give you a straight quote. I wrote it down when he said it, because I told Canzano that you flip-flopped Washington, Oregon. And he said, quote, "He's selling papers. Unless the Ducks can stop somebody from running the football, how can they win the North?" What do you think of that?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I think that Oregon's defense is I would favor Oregon's defense right now over the Huskies. But I agree. Neither is a dominant. I don't know that either's set up to be an elite unit the way Washington was a few years ago.
Yep.
Oregon certainly had some trouble last year.
it's going to be close. There's no doubt it's going to be close. I think Oregon just gets the benefit of the doubt, you know, from the betting services, partly because they won the league without winning their division. They won the league.
Yeah.
But just the recruiting, you know, there's so much momentum behind the recruiting that I think that has kind of helped the general public in terms of how they're setting the lines.
Well, let me ask you this, John. This is not a what the hell are you talking about, Wilner, but it's pretty damn close because you mentioned Brown at Oregon, who I thought he looked better than Shuck did against Iowa State, but they got hammered by Iowa State. So I'm not going to look at that game and think that Oregon's got a Heisman Trophy contender on their hands. I got to see a lot more from this kid. But Slovis, can we agree that Keaton Slovis is the best quarterback right now on paper in the conference? And if he is, who's number two?
You know, I'm not sure that I agree with that, but I don't think I could give you somebody else, right? I mean, Jaden Daniels at ASU, maybe, but he has trouble throwing from the pocket. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he throws too many turnovers. Slovis, he was really good 2 years ago, but this past season he wasn't, and, you know, he threw some ducks, and he's got a rickety offensive line. I'm not sure that there really is a standout quarterback,
yeah,
at least at this point. It could end up being the Baylor transfer at Utah, Charlie Brewer.
Well, that's a problem because, I mean, Jaden Daniels, Chase Garbers, really? I mean, what happened to all the quarterbacks in this conference,
man?
It used to be every single year there were three or four guys that would stay on the West Coast and play for the Pac-12, and now there's really that Jaden Daniels and a transfer from Baylor and the starting quarterback for Cal is the best they've got to offer besides USC's starter? The hell?
Yeah, they're all in the SEC.
Yeah, and Clemson. I mean,
that's right. No, that's the problem. That's the problem. I mean, look at the Heisman odds. There are West Coast quarterbacks all over the place. Spencer Rattler, Oklahoma, you know, Uiagalelei, Bryce Young, JT Daniels. Ohio State's got one. They're everywhere else. They're not in the Pac-12.
Now, the good news is, though, and you wrote about this week, John, there is a ton of NFL talent in this conference. It's not at quarterback, but I didn't realize how much star power at other positions the Pac-12 is going to have going into next year's draft. Are we potentially going to see a Pac-12 that has maybe the second most draft picks or the third most draft picks instead of the fourth like they had this year?
It's possible, and especially if you go on, you know, per team, right? I mean, that's the thing. If you just use the raw numbers, the Pac-12 will never stand up because they don't have as many teams as the ACC, SEC, and Big Ten. But I think that next year could be a very good draft for the conference. At the top, you know, there could be two Pac-12 defensive ends taken in the top five picks.
Yeah.
You know, between Thibodeau and the kid at USC, Drake Jackson. And then there's so many schools that have so many super seniors, so many guys that passed on the draft this year because the season was so short. I mean, look up and down the Pac-12. Roster after roster has got 18, 19, 20 returning starters. There's a chance that the quality of football is going to be really, really good in the fall. And if it is, and they could win a couple of those games in September,
yeah,
it could be a great year for the conference.
Well, that's the point. It's fine to have it be good interconference, but it better damn well be good on September 11th.
That's right.
Right, John?
Yep.
That's the day.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the big day.
John Wilner, great stuff, man. Always love catching up, and I'm sure you'll write something that'll irritate us that we'll ask you about next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
I'll see you, man. John Wilner with us on the radio show. Big thanks to SimplySeattle.com. Check out everything they got to offer on the website right now. Put a tweet out with that cool Sonic hat, that cool Sonic Mariner hat we were talking about on my Twitter account at SoftyKJR. All right, at 5 o'clock tonight, Gabe Neitzel, who does the AM show for ESPN Milwaukee, and come on and talk about Aaron Rodgers' future. And then Brian Schmetzer, by the way, is going to join us at 5:45 and talk about the big win over the weekend coming up on Softy.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
All right, here we go. Testimonials 49451 every day at 445, or in this case, 448, because we're late. Brought to you by our friends at Hammer and Nail. Built on the Coors Seltzer text line. Jared Kelenic is about 50 hours away from making his debut at T-Mobile Park with the M's on Thursday. We want to know how fired up you are. The Mariners want to know how fired up Seattle is for the debut of the greatest prospect ever in the history of the game of baseball. What do you got?
It will take more than a rookie with a hyper-inflated ego to fix the M's or make me care to watch.
That guy's just out. Well, I mean, does he have a hyper-inflated ego? I mean, you said he was cocky, so I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he's an egomaniac.
If I don't know anything about him. So guy in the middle of that lineup hitting 270 with a close to 800 OPS. Just think about what that's going to do for the rest of the lineup. I mean, it's just, it's a disaster right now. And the pitching has been good enough to win ball games. So he could have a big difference in the war category in the next
absolutely
2 months.
Could, but I'm waiting to see how cocky he really is. I mean, if he goes yard in his first AB ever and rounding the bases, says, you see, suck it! I told you I should have been here last year!
You know what he should do?
Ridiculous, Mather, you moron!
If he goes yard, he should pull, as he's coming around third, he should turn and go reverse into home plate and do the Marshawn Lynch grab the junk move right there.
I would suggest he don't do that at all. I mean, dude, of all people who should hate that, you're the guy that should hate that. Are you kidding me? What's next?
King Felix's debut at Detroit is comparable to this. That's it.
Yeah, I remember, it's funny that he brings that up because you don't think of Felix Hernandez as a guy that came with that kind of hype. There were people, and I was actually reading about this before the show today, I was reminded of this. There were folks that were calling him the king even before he came to Seattle and made his debut with the M's. There was some hype for him, but it's totally different now because of social media, right? I mean, all of the highlights that we've seen of Jared Kelenic have all come on Twitter. Every single one of them have come via social media. So the buzz around this guy, there's a platform where people can lose their minds that wasn't around 15 years ago. It's just apples and oranges, dude. But it's fun. It's fun to finally have a guy that you're fired up for.
I think we should probably pin the numbers on Jared Kelenic before he comes up on Thursday.
Right now?
I
mean,
I
think we just should, for the game on Thursday or for his first year?
For the season.
Okay.
For the first season.
Well, we're talking about, 125 games? Something like that? 130
about that.
Games? Okay, so I'm going to go, I think he hits 18 home runs. I think he'll drive in 70, and he'll hit 295 with a 805 OPS. How's that?
Pretty good. I'll go under on the batting average.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to go up on the home runs.
I just gave you a bunch of numbers, and I don't think any of them equal an 805 OPS, by the way.
No, we can 805.
To
yeah,
the calculator.
They potentially
it's could. Not including, I mean, everything else in,
especially
the,
with a lot of
in the repertoire. All right, save that. Save this little clip here, and we'll see who's KP by the end of the year. Winner gets to punch the other guy right in the face on live radio. How's that? You cool with that?
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
What if the so-called star Jared Kelenic fizzled instead of sizzled?
Yeah, well, then it'll just be another in the long line.
It's going to be
long line,
I mean,
of prospects.
What do you mean? What do you mean, what if it happens? It happens every time.
Well, Brandon Morrow, Mike Zunino, I don't know. I mean, Danny
Dustin
Holson,
Ackley, Justin Ackley, Smoke,
all those
Jesus
guys, right?
Montero, the ice cream sandwich eater.
Jesus Montero, no, the ice cream sandwich thrower.
Oh,
I think he chucked an ice cream sandwich at a scout, right, in the stands?
That's right.
Because
guy
was
the scout brought it to him.
So he threw him an ice cream sandwich. I love ice cream sandwiches, by the way. Very underrated dessert. What's next?
Well, I did listen to the Puck and Slick show today, and Puckett was very critical of how you guys are so negative about the Mariners' very early season.
Yeah, interesting.
I don't think that's fair. I think he's confusing this show with the Ian Furness show. Who just? I mean, I like to listen to Ian's opening monologue at 1 o'clock. I'm there by the radio at least 2 or 3 days a week for the opening monologue. And man, listening to that first 10 minutes of Ian's show yesterday, you would have thought the Mariners were 6-24. I mean, he called them a disaster.
Well,
so I had to go home and just look at the standings.
Team. Yeah, well, but the standings don't mean anything. Yeah, I mean, you're doing it again. It's May the 11th. Dick, come on, stop it. Stop it! If you think they're good, quote me something else besides the standings. It's the 11th of May. Why else are they good? Tell me. Go.
They're a good defensive baseball team, and they have a good bullpen.
Okay. And that's
just gave you two things that are fairly important to winning baseball games.
They have a good bullpen, what, in the first 30 games of the year, or overall they're going to have a good bullpen?
Well, I think that's totally unfair. If you're criticizing me for looking at the record, I think then it would be totally unfair for criticizing, for on the flip side, saying this team is an embarrassment when it's, like you said, only 30 games.
I don't think you look at anything that's happened in the first 30 games of the year. I think you look at history. I think you look at anything that you thought they would be before the season started, you haven't seen enough to make you change your mind. That's my point.
I think that's,
you thought the bullpen was going to struggle, right?
I did.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen enough to convince ourselves that that's not in the end of the year going to be the case.
But what I think is I've seen enough of this team to lead us to believe that they're going to be right about where you and I said they would be in the mid-70s this year.
Well, that's not a good baseball team, right?
But it's not an embarrassment.
So we're arguing over adjectives to describe a baseball team that wins 70 games or 74 games. I mean, either way, right? Who gives a damn? And by the way, to Puckett's point, was this not the guy who was doing the whole refuse to talk thing a couple years ago?
Yes.
And he's calling us negative? Screw you, Puckett. What's next?
Don't care about PDX or not, I think Dodgers versus Padres is something similar. I'm just more worried about a winning team than our first rivalry.
What? I don't get any of that.
I think he doesn't really care about whether or not Portland gets a team or not. He's more concerned about us than he is about anybody else getting baseball.
And who's not? I mean, just because we're talking about, for 2 minutes on the radio, the idea of a rivalry with another city does not mean that we have thrown out the idea that our main concern is winning games in Seattle. I mean, how do people come to these conclusions? I don't understand that.
Well, I think sometimes people half listen, and then they interpret what they hear based upon 50% of what they heard.
Well, but why would you even reach that conclusion, though? Why would you flip on a radio station for 2 minutes and hear a couple of guys say, you know, it'd be great to have a rivalry with Portland, and then walk away with the idea that, well, those guys just don't want to win.
They don't care about
their
team.
All they care about is rivalries. I mean, it's, come on, guys. Of course, absolutely the main concern is the Mariners. I'm just saying this. On the list of things that would be fun to be involved in as a baseball fan, having an actual rival, and guess what? I got news for you. You don't have one. I don't care what the Padres say or what anybody else says. You don't have a freaking rival. You know why? Because nobody else in baseball cares about beating you. That's why. So we need one. It would make the sport fun to have a rival.
It would be. And you'd play them, because it's baseball. You'd play them 19 times. And in all 19 games, you could go to every single one of them if you wanted by getting in a car.
Every single one. Or a train. Or riding a bike.
That's right.
You could do that too. Don't they have a bike race from Seattle to Portland?
STP.
We're going to break. Headlines coming up. They're going to head to Green Bay at 5:20. Find out about Aaron Rodgers' future. Brian Schmetzer, 5:45, coming up on 950K.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.